very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. 30 years ago, Glenn Burton was an unenthusiastic student growing up in the rough and tumble environment of a housing estate. His contemporaries had already embarked on paths that would likely lead them to unappealing futures, maybe even prison. Glenn decided on a different path. At 16 years old, he entered a British Army boot camp. While he wasn't 100% sure what to expect, he was locked into a mindset to succeed, a trait that would serve him the rest of his life. His life experiences read like something out of a novel, helping to smuggle vulnerable people out of the war-torn hell that was Sarajevo, involvement in one of the world's top private sector rescue missions following a major terror attack, and allegedly kidnapping a baby from Africa for a celebrity. He has led and managed protective operations in over 120 countries for high-net-worth families, Fortune 100 corporate executives, and even international royalty. He's built a reputation as one of the most highly sought consultants in the close executive protection industry. And he's joining us today for our Veteran Entrepreneur segment. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, Mr. Glenn Burton.
Hey, Ben. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, Glenn, American Warrior Radios are pretty discerning folks. I'm guessing from your accent they can probably figure out you're not from Texas.
Not from Texas, but I've been here long enough. Thankfully for myself, though, I've still got my English accent.
I hadn't noticed. Now, I will say you still hold the title, Glenn, of the only non-U.S. soldier to appear on American Warrior Radio.
It's a title I'm very proud to hold.
Well, let's change it. Can you introduce me to Christian Craighead?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him. He was the SAS guy that ran towards the sound of gunfire in Nairobi a few years ago.
Christian was the guy who has now become very prominent on social media. During his time in the service, I'm sure he wasn't known as Christian.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. You would know. Now, Glenn, we last had you on in 2019 to discuss your book, In Harm's Way, and a wonderful read. I still encourage folks to buy that. Folks can download our podcast if they'd like to hear more about that. But do you want to take this opportunity, Glenn, to address the kidnapping story real quick?
Yeah, you know, I was working in the celebrity side of things, certainly in the first part of my career, and I worked my way up. Relatively quickly, to be honest, and it was mainly through contacts. And a good friend of mine used to work for a very prominent celebrity, and he asked me to come on board. And, you know, she was a musician, and at the end of the tour, we ended up going out to Africa, specifically to Malawi. And during that time out there, she would be adopting a child, a young baby boy. And I was the guy left behind with the artist, who everyone will know as Madonna. And she adopted David Banda. So I was left behind to wrap up the paperwork along with the nanny and a couple of other people. And eventually we left Malawi, despite the struggles that we faced, you know, during that period of time to get all the paperwork. And arrived back in the UK to a media storm. And it was a big media storm. So for me, I'd been so used to working in the shadows for so long. It was an unwanted spotlight for me, but certainly a learning experience as well.
And you, I mean, I'm kind of teasing about that, but does that still follow you? I mean, I recall, Glenn, you say you got off the train or whatever it was at home in London, and here the tabloids have got your face splashed all over the front cover saying you're a kidnapper.
Yeah, it's amazing how the tabloids work and how quick they produce stories. But we landed at about 6:10 in the morning to be met by armed officers at the plane. And by the time we got to the house in central London, it was about 8 o'clock, dropped the kid off, and then I went for a coffee, and I was walking past newsstands, and you know, they were already in print, pictures of us getting off the plane and leaving Malawi.
Well, at least there wasn't a reward offered for you.
That's such a shame.
So the high-profile rescue mission, can you talk about that? Was that, by any chance, was that Mumbai?
Yeah, it was Mumbai in 2008 during the Mumbai terror attacks. You know, I was visiting Houston where I would later buy a house. And, you know, it 2008. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine who lived in L.A. And he was working with a family. He was their driver. this particular family were on holiday in Mumbai at the time of these attacks. I didn't know anything about it. I was just leaving the house to go to the gym. And I got the phone call asking if I could speak to this family urgently. And just fast-tracking it a little bit, I got them on the phone. And it was extremely unpleasant to listen to with the children, young children, in the bedroom of the Taj Palace Hotel, which was one of seven attack sites by the terrorists. And, you know, I was speaking to the father predominantly and giving him advice, going through the motions of what they needed to do in this extreme scenario. Gunshots going off in the background. It was the first time I'd been remote in such a situation. I very much had to think on my feet. And we formulated a plan to send a rescue team in to get that family. You know, they were a high net worth family. They were fortunate they could afford it. But it was very difficult getting them in, but we got them in indeed. And we ended up getting the family out, and unfortunately 36 other people died in that hotel over this three-day attack period.
That's disturbing. That's beyond disturbing, Glenn. I'll have lots of dumb questions for you here, sir, but given you're one of the best in the business, I can't help but ask. So when you go, you know, 120 countries, you're protecting high-net-worth individuals or celebrities or wherever they might be, how do you get your weapon into the country, or do you not, or do we don't? I don't ask that question.
No, there's no problem asking it, Ben. Coming from the United Kingdom, you know, we come from very much a non-armed community, and so a lot of my training in the early days through the military, and when, once I left, it was on a non-armed basis. However, I've been in the United States for 20 years now, so I completely appreciate the armed side, and a lot of people do carry. But for me, I don't overseas. I utilize contractors and vendors, trusted people and teams who I've used for many, many years. Where we need armed guys on the team, then we'll use them, and everything's done legally, you know, legitimately the right way.
Sure, sure. We're going to talk a little bit more about leadership later on in the program, Glenn, but I one thing that in tracking your career and most reading both your books now, that really strikes me is, and we'll have some different opinions on this, I suspect, but what can be learned from watching, don't tell me you're a leader, show me you're a leader. And I got to tell you, I learned a lot as an honorary commander to a three-star general. He's one of the best servant leaders I ever witnessed. You had some similar experiences with the general, Sir Michael Rose.
Yeah, you know, I count myself extremely lucky to have been chosen to deploy to the Balkans during a very volatile period with General Sir Michael Rose. You know, this is a man who had a great deal of respect within the British Army. He was the former commanding officer of the SAS and the former director of British Special Forces. And I was on his personal team, and I learned a great deal from him. Although I was learning leadership at a very young age, from 16 to 21, as a young soldier, was really working in an environment with General Rose that challenged him, where I learned some great lessons that would benefit me later in life.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's built himself into one of the most sought-after executive protection experts in the world, and he just started a new venture, a relatively new venture, Development Group 5, which debuted to the public in 2018. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Glenn Burton about his latest entrepreneurial adventure, plus some things a lot of us can learn from. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Glenn Burton. Glenn Burton's had a very intriguing career. Before the break, we teased you with some stories about some of his adventures. And Glenn, I'm guessing you're the kind of guy, just because of the nature of what you do and who your clients are, that's not even the tip of the iceberg. There's probably about 98% of the stuff you've done you can't even talk about.
Yeah, that's correct. But, you know, I'm very fortunate to be able to travel the world with prominent people, high net worth individuals and families, and I get to experience a lot of great things that, you know, quite a lot of people don't have the ability to do that. I always absorb the environment, but certainly in the early days I used to go and visit certain landmarks and sites, but now I've been to these countries so many times that I've seen them 100 times.
Well, I tell you, I'm just a little radio guy, Glenn, and Madonna and Bill Gates and I don't hang out as much as we used to, so I don't really need executive protection much. But you have developed a new program that I think all of us can use, and I encourage folks to visit devgroup5.com, five spelled out. And the description is military approaches, themes, and training techniques to help bring new and dynamic focus on achieving excellence where you feel empowered to be the very best you can be. What inspired you, Glenn, to add this new endeavor to your portfolio?
Well, this really all began in 2011 for me, and I was contacted by a very prominent family in New York. And their 21-year-old son was traveling throughout South America, or was about to travel, for a number of months, just on an adventure training trip. He was going alone, and because he was a high-value asset, they wanted somebody who had a strong security background to go with him. So I met him down in Bolivia, and we kicked the trip off together. And over the coming weeks and months, you know, we were participating in all sorts of crazy things, rock climbing, and he's a big adventurist. You know, I'd let him climb 3,000 feet up a rock face, and I'd sit at the bottom having my coffee. There's only so much protection I can offer at that point, Ben.
Right.
But, you know, working with him, it gave me a really great insight into the mentoring aspect. This was an individual who'd lost his father a year before, and he'd been struggling with that. And over the course of the time with him, you know, I kind of became a coach and a mentor. He was asking a lot of advice. I was sharing a lot of military lessons that I'd learned to help him be the best that he could be. And at the end of the trip, I was very thankful to receive a letter from the family saying that he'd come back in a much more better mental state than before the trip had begun. So it really gave me a good insight into me being able to help individuals and be able to build on that. And then, you know, I gave it a number of years, and I decided to form Development Group 5, which really focuses on personal leadership and team development.
How did you select your other team members, Glenn?
Well, we have a variety of team members. You know, some people think this is just a military-driven company. It's not. We have military people involved. But we've also got coaches, mentors, leaders that have no military experience. But collectively, we have a team that has vast knowledge to be able to help people and teams to be able to grow.
And is the five in the name of the company referring to the five pillars of what you preach, if you will, performance, motivation, mindset, vision, and execution?
Yeah, we believe that those five things are essential, whether you're an individual or a team. You know, being able to perform to the best of your ability, having the self-motivation and being able to motivate each other, and having a mindset to be able to push yourself forward beyond your limits, and also having a very clear vision of where you want to go, where your team wants to go. But also, that would all be, you know, irrelevant if you didn't have the right execution. You've got to follow it through. There's no point being a dreamer. You know, we can all pursue our dreams, and we help people get to that point.
Now, when folks visit devgroup5.com, they'll see quite a lot of options there. The one that sort of intrigued me the most, that sort of jumped out at me, is these where you, and I assume these are corporate teams or just groups of individuals, and you give them the opportunity to test themselves in real-world situations. Describe some of those situations for me and what someone like me, just an average Joe, could learn from pulling a guy with a broken leg out of the bush.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of classroom work and for, you know, for workshops and talks and team development, but we've also got a platform within our company called Mission Command, and that's a number of reality-based missions that immerse people into high-pressure environments, and these are environments that they're not used to being in, coming from the corporate world especially. You know, escape and evasion, pilot down. Teams have got to work together through a vast terrain to locate the pilot. They'll obviously receive mission briefings. But what that does is it brings out leaders. It identifies any potential conflict within teams as well and how to work through that. There'll be disagreements. But when you're in that highly pressurized scenario, there's no room for that. So the leader really has to step up and get control of his or her team.
Yeah, and I want to talk a lot about leadership today, Glenn, with you. And I just, when you mentioned that, so I'm assuming this would be the XYZ Widget Corporation that has 50 employees, and they send them off to you, and there's 10 teams of five, and they all undergo this training. But when you talk about leadership, so I've got a team of five, and maybe it's the department head and five employees. Or do you just mix them up and see who naturally emerges?
Yeah, I think it's important sometimes in scenarios like this when you're away from the workplace to let people just figure it out for themselves, and we stand back and we'll watch that. That's the initial engagement, to see how they're getting on. Is somebody taking the lead? Is somebody, you know, taking a step back? We focus on the individuals as well, even though it's a team. Maybe you've got people who aren't as confident, but we build them up over time to get them to a point of being able to not only lead teams, but lead themselves effectively in their day-to-day lives.
And I assume they have to come to you for these experiences, or can you take it to them wherever they might be in the country?
Yeah, we can take it to them. We've got a mobile training team. We can travel anywhere in the United States. And we've also got a business in the United Kingdom, Development Group 5 Limited. So, you know, the goal is to be really taking it global, because I think what we offer is unique, and it's definitely beneficial.
What about individuals who are just, who might be part of a company but are just looking to develop their skill sets and challenge themselves as well? What are the things do you have in your portfolio there, Glenn, that folks can take advantage of?
Well, we've got our personal development division, which, you know, you can be having coaching and mentoring sessions. You know, these are very important for personal development, personal growth. But within our team, we have a variety of certified professional coaches who can work with individuals and help them both mentally, physically, in their career, overcoming adversity. It's an area that we're focusing heavily on, because we put our feelers out in the early days through our development phase and identify that there was a need for this.
Now, I'm curious about that, because I want to talk about your book a little bit later on in the show, but when I explored that and read through that, I'm guessing a lot of listeners right now might say either A, I could never do that, or B, I don't need that. Both answers are probably not correct. I'm guessing, unless it's Bill Gates or Madonna.
Well, I'd love to bring Bill Gates and Madonna on one of our mission commands. It would be quite fun. I think we'd have to have a film crew with us as well.
But that answer, so what I take from your book, Glenn, is so people discount themselves so much. And this is something that, so walk me through that process. BBG says, Glenn, I need a coach. And then what happens? Do you say, okay, let's talk about where you see your challenges or your shortcomings, and then you decide who to assign me to? Or how do we go about taking that first step?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's individual need and individual want. You've got to want to be better than you currently are. We had a young man recently come to us, and, you know, he wasn't in the best place. And we had a conversation, and we've talked about the coaching and mentoring for him. This is not about, you know, just being in it for making money. We genuinely make a difference in people's lives. And we don't want to see people struggling. And for me personally, you know, I've operated in the shadows for many, many years. But I'm actually enjoying this, because it brings me to a level of self-development where I'm engaging with people. And not everyone is operating at 100%. So it's very important that you do something for yourself, because there are a lot of people who bash themselves. And we see it. You know, we see it all the time. But it's great to see the growth once they commit to bettering themselves.
And how long does this last? As long as it needs to, or...?
Yeah, we have a number of different coaching programs. You know, we've got a 5-week plan, we've got a 6-week one, we've got a 12-week one. They all focus on different areas. If somebody comes to us and is interested in having a coach, they'll be presented with the plan. Nothing will be forced on them. And they'll also be presented with a list of and a bio of our coaches. And, you know, whoever they want to go with, whoever they feel comfortable with, they can have a conversation with every single one of them, just so they can get that comfort level to where it needs to be.
And as an entrepreneur, Glenn, how do you scale this? You become even more wildly successful. Is it just a matter of adding more coaches? Or, I mean, at some point, the gas tank's got to be full.
Yeah, it's very important to me as the founder of the company to make sure that we've got control of everybody involved from a staffing standpoint. We're not trying to be the biggest and most prominent company in the country, or the world for that matter. We want to be boutique. We want to be very detail-orientated for our customers. So where we're at, we're in a good place staffing-wise. We're always keen to hear from new coaches and veterans who can help out in various areas of the company. But I've seen other companies, big companies, 100 coaches, 150 coaches. That just doesn't work for us.
Glenn, I've got a suggestion for you. Do you, when your clients graduate, Do you give them a challenge coin?
It's funny you say that, Ben, because we've been exploring it, and it's coming soon. I can feel it.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Folks, you know, here at American Warrior Radio, we give challenge coins to our clients and our friends. We got ours done at Boss Custom Coins. It was really easy. I sent them my logo. I worked with their artists. We went from concept to in my pocket in just 2 weeks. If, like Glenn, you're exploring the need for a challenge coin, you need to renew your existing coin order, send me an email, bbg@AmericanWarriorRadio.com, and I will personally put you in touch with one of the bosses at Boss Custom Coins for a special American Warrior Radio discount. I love our new challenge coins. The people we give them to love our challenge coins. You'll love yours, too. Get started at BossCoins.com, and don't forget to ask me about your American Warrior Radio discount. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Glenn Burton. Glenn is one of the best in his line of work. You can learn more, visit Glenn Burton, BURTON.com, or also his new endeavor, DevGroup5.com. Five is all spelled out. Glenn, you were courteous enough to send me a copy of your newest book, The Fortitude Warrior, and I spent quite a bit of time with that. There's a lot there to unpack, Glenn, but we want people to buy the book, so we don't want to give it all away. But it's interesting to me in looking at the book and then looking at what your training does with Dev Group 5. I see a lot of the underpinnings of the training or your inspiration or your motivation for doing the training within this book. And a couple things that I, just following your career, Glenn, two things that pop out. Just the concept of always moving forward, and now this new word, fortitude. In this context, Glenn, describe fortitude and how it should apply in each of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, fortitude is strength of mind. That's the meaning behind it. And that really applies to everybody, you know, being able to have strength of mind. If you don't have it, work your way towards getting it. It helps us in our personal lives in a variety of areas, whether it's a relationship breakup or losing a job or even dealing with the past 2 years of a pandemic. It helps teams as well, you know, collectively having the strength of mind together to work as one cohesive unit, moving in the same direction. And because we do focus heavily on moving in the same direction, individually or as a team, we have our mantra of always moving forward. And that really is a mindset. No matter what we do, we want to be moving forward. And there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be challenges and roadblocks. But the key to moving forward consistently is having that mindset to say you can keep moving forward.
We've had a Navy SEAL, Jason Redmond's been on the show, and his kind of tagline is get off the X. You know, wherever you are, just don't stay there. You got to get the motivation or the purpose or the mindset to get off the X. In your parlance, Glenn, does always moving forward, is it sometimes okay to move sideways in order to move forward versus just staying where you are?
Yeah, moving sideways is absolutely no problem because what it allows you is the opportunity to think about the next move. So the sideways steps essential to get to the point of moving forward. But whether it's sideways or forwards, what you don't want to be doing is going backwards. And, you know, a lot of people can do that, but it's about being in a comfort zone. And it's essential for our personal growth to be getting out of that comfort zone and doing something for yourself that really benefits you physically, mentally, in your career, with your family. And that's where the always moving forward mantra comes from.
Who defines that? Obviously, we are each, and this is another thing that a theme I see running through almost every page of your book is, you know, we're in control of it. We're the CEO of our lives. We're the general, if you will, of our lives in American Warrior Radio context. But that comfort zone, we define that, right? We shouldn't let other folks define that, but then we should also be trying to push the edges out just a little bit at a time, too.
Yeah, it's important for others to be able to have input in what you should do in life or what's best for you. But ultimately, you are the CEO of your own life. You have that position. You hold that position. So it's very essential to be making the right decisions for yourself. If you've got a CEO of a big company such as Microsoft or Google, you know, they're in that position because in the main, they're not making poor decisions. They're making the right decisions and the correct decisions. Bring that forward to our lives, us as individuals. You are the CEO. Now make the right decisions. Whether that's your circle, you know, get rid of the dead wood, get rid of the toxic people, or if it's a career move, make the right decisions.
Glenn, I'm curious, another one of Ben's dumb questions. You get to spend a lot of time with these high-value individuals, CEOs. How does that work? I mean, you're in the limousine with, I don't know, the founder of Google, and you just say, hey, something I want to ask you. Or do you just keep your ears peeled and learn a lot from listening?
You know, over the years, I've learned to be able to switch off in the vehicle. I've had some good relationships, close relationships with corporate CEOs, CEOs of Fortune 50 companies. But I just wouldn't go there and ask them for advice or give me a little nugget. It's all about being able to watch them from a distance. Ultimately, I'm watching them from a protective mode. I'm watching out for risks, reputational damage, physical harm. But you pick up things along the way. You listen to them in keynotes, what they're focusing on. They're talking about leadership, and you've seen them in leadership positions. So over 20 years of doing that consistently across the globe, I've been able to learn so much about what they do to help themselves be the best and help them their companies be the best.
And I think you could probably learn a lot also by watching how they treat their subordinates.
Absolutely. I mean, that's essential. You know, I've been around good leadership. I've been around some really poor leadership. That for me is not something that I've wanted to align myself with. But, you know, that's why we focus heavily on leadership development within our company, because we know the ethics involved. We know the values needed and the characteristics of leaders as well. How you treat your people says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, Glenn, I'm going to roll over and expose my belly here a little bit. Some of the items I took out of your book are themes that really resonated with me. And one of them is kind of the concepts of negativity and doubt. One of my favorite, probably my favorite quote from the novel Dune is, "Fear is the mind killer." And I know there's been times in my life where I wasn't willing. I was too afraid to take the risk. I just didn't feel I was there. You know, another part of your book talks about, you know, destroying those excuses. But the quote that I took from your book on this subject that really I love, you said, "You keep doubting and I'll keep upping my game."
Absolutely. I mean, that for me was just a personal attitude. And a lot of it is about attitude. You know, overcoming that negativity and doubt, which is a chapter in my book, you know, that began for me as a young boy when I decided to go in the army. A lot of people doubted my ability to last 5 minutes, but I used that as fuel to succeed. I wanted to be a soldier. And then the same applied when I left after 10 years, 7 operational tours, and moved into the private security industry. Same negativity and doubt arose. But, you know, you've got to be able to demolish your excuses. For me, I had that motivation of the negativity and doubt. Whether you've got that or not, you've got to start with getting rid of your excuses and laying out a plan for yourself.
So it's okay to just let it boil a little bit and say, well, I'll show you, if that's the proper motivation to get you off the X, to keep you moving forward.
Absolutely. If that works for you, then use it. Manipulate it. Take advantage of it. Whatever it takes for you to reach the next level, use it.
Let's talk about leadership, because this is what I want to spend most of the time on. And you know, leaders come in many forms. And you, in your book, you had some very interesting comments about Bill Gates. And can you share a little bit with our listeners what you were writing about there with in reference to him?
Yeah, you know, I traveled quite a lot with Bill, certainly in the early part of my career. Now, Bill was the richest guy in the world. He's a very prominent individual, as he is today. But in working with him as the, you know, chairman of Microsoft, I used to travel to a lot of international destinations and watch him in keynotes. Now, I felt during that time with Bill and also in the years following that I felt personally that Bill wasn't a very strong leader, extremely smart individual, without question. Good person, nice person to be around, but he wasn't a talker. Obviously, his employees all looked up to him. But what Bill was good at was being able to drive messages forward, whether it was an email to employees or whether it was delivering a keynote. And the one key thing that I really learned with traveling the world with Bill Gates was the importance of focus. You know, having this focus, whether it's individually or as a team, without the focus, you're going in different directions.
Glenn, we're about to take another break here, but when we come back, I just want to sort of plant the seed. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with you, but maybe I just come from a different perspective. In your book, you talk about how the military in particular has a way of building leaders. And I guess I come more from a perspective of I don't know that you can do that necessarily without there being some basic elements within that person's own personality and their traits, an inherent drive, if you will, which frankly you cited in the book that you, you know, when it talked about fortitude, that's just something that Glenn Burton kind of came pre-wired with. So when we come back from the break, I want to pursue more of that idea about leadership, and I know our listeners will learn a lot from that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking to Glenn Burton. You can learn more, visit devgroup5.com or glennburton.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're having just a heck of a chat with Glenn Burton. Glenn is a former soldier. He's one of the best in the world at executive close protection. And he's got a new endeavor, a new initiative out called Development Group 5. You can learn more at devgroup5.com or glennburton.com. Glenn, before we took the break, I decided to pick a fight with you when it comes to defining leadership. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not saying learning leadership in the military is better or easier or more effective than the private sector. Both have extreme benefits. But what the military gave me as a leader was the discipline behind it. And not everybody in the military can be a leader, just like in the private sector. But for me, I had to learn in a tough way, in a tough environment, especially when I was in Sarajevo. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that a lot of military people, they get stripped down, you know, pardon the pun really, but they're built back up. And then the military leaders who are already in position, they're identifying future leaders, and that's what they focus on. Because like I said, not everybody can be a leader.
Well, and that's, I guess, where I come from, Glenn. I mean, have you seen the movie We Were Soldiers?
Yes.
There's just a tragic scene early on in the film where the lieutenant, I guess he was, leads his squad into an ambush. And they're surrounded almost. So he stands up and says, come on, I'll get you out of here. He's shot and he drops. The second lieutenant stands up and says, hey, follow me. He gets shot. He drops. And then finally it takes a lowly little sergeant to say, keep your heads down. Stay where you are. The other guys were trying to be leaders, but it's like, don't tell me what you're going to do. Show me how you're going to lead.
Exactly. And although that was a movie, I mean, it does happen in real life as well. You know, the situation and the scenario, the firefight you're in, people could fall apart. They could be the best leaders ever up until that point when shots are fired. Mm-hmm. But what is important is not just identifying leaders of a platoon or a company or a battalion of people. It's also identifying those who can step in.
Kind of following up on that theme, if folks visit devgroup5.com, your website, there's an interview you did with Frank Beccaro. And you've said, Glenn, that a person may be forgiven for a lot of things in life, but they will not be forgiven for lack of integrity. Tell us how important it is, both as a leader in your company, in your church, whatever it might be, but frankly, in your own personal life, and just being honest with ourselves. You know, if we hide our mistakes, the opposite of personal growth occurs.
Well, if you're a leader or if you're appointed into a leadership position, then you've got to have self-accountability, first and foremost. If you don't have that accountability, then you're going to easily pass the buck on to other people, and members of your team are going to see through that, and that's where you're going to lose respect. And when you lose respect, you start to lose productivity within your team or your business. So, you know, the conversation with Frank was extremely important to me personally, talking about ethics, because I have been around, you know, people who are leaders who didn't really understand ethics. They were poor leaders. They weren't team players. They weren't leading from the front. And that's essential. But if you aren't an ethical leader, then again, you shouldn't be in that leadership position.
And unfortunately, you've probably observed it happens more often than not.
Countless times. Yeah, countless times. Too many to remember, but there have been lessons that I've learned as well. Even as a young man, being on, you know, close protection teams, working with high-profile figures, I didn't want to be a part of it. If you know, if there were leaders who were weak or making bad decisions, errors in judgment, and if the ethics weren't there. So I've been a risk taker all my life, even though I might have been appointed to a team as a young operator. I've walked away because things weren't going to change, or, you know, positions weren't going to change. It just wasn't what I wanted to be a part of.
Let's talk about taking risks a little bit, seeing how you mentioned that. You know, I think about in the context of Bill Gates, you know, or whatever, a lot of your clients that we won't mention here, you know, I think about what if someone like a Bill Gates had not been willing to take a risk? Where would we be today? You took a big risk when you decided to pretty much uproot your life and move to the United States and start a whole new career. What about, what is the healthy amount of risk, Glenn, that people should be willing to attempt?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you mentioned Bill Gates. Every successful business leader has taken a risk or many risks throughout their career, whether it's coming up with a concept and running with it, or if it's, you know, hiring of people or delivering of products. Everybody takes the risk. For us as individuals, determining our level of risk is really only something that we as an individual can decide. You want to be able to take, you know, a very well thought through risk. You don't want to be putting yourself in harm's way and, you know, treading water. But you also want to be stepping out of that comfort zone, doing things that you're not used to. You may have an idea to start a company, or you may want to change a job, or even relocate to another city or country. You've got to be able to determine that risk yourself, and nobody else can do that for you.
And in your case, I found it interesting that when you talk about the risk-reward calculation, the birth of your daughter changed that equation for you, didn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And I wouldn't change that for one second. But, you know, throughout the military, and then the first, you know, 10, 12 years working in the private security industry, I was chasing the risk. You know, I became addicted to it, and I loved it. But that is not for everybody. I was chasing risk of a different kind, going into hostile environments, being in harm's way. And I really mean being immersed in dangerous environments and situations. But, you know, children change things. So when my daughter came along, I needed to make some adjustments for myself. You know, I wanted to focus more on the high net worths, the corporate executives, and really make that a success. And, you know, I'm very proud of being able to do that. But first, I had to take the risk to make the change.
You know, and just kind of wrapping up, Glenn, that you say you had to take the risk. One of the last chapters in your book is I, number one. And I think about when you get on the airplane, there's that safety announcement. They always tell us, you know, if the oxygen masks come down, put it on, adults, put it on yourself before you help the child, because if you're passed out, you can't do anyone any good. And Glenn, you said protecting yourself starts with you, protecting your partner starts with you, protecting your children starts with you.
And it does. You know, this is not about me pushing for us all to eat healthy and become teetotal, but you have to protect yourself because there are people who care about you. You have got family who relies on you. So if you don't get to a point of being able to take care of yourself and care for yourself, then you're not going to be able to take care of anybody else who you may be living with or may have to take care of, not just now, but later in life.
Folks, again, visit devgroup5.com. They've got a lot of cool programs that I honestly believe can help you, your teammates, your company, your family even. Also visit glennburton.com to learn more about this gentleman's just intriguing, fascinating life. Glenn, where would you like to see DevGroup 5 10 years from now?
You know, I'd like to see us established, very well established, with a great reputation. And you've got to work hard to get to that reputation and maintain it. But I'd like to be able to see us throughout the United States with a very active presence in Europe, especially because, you know, I'm over there a lot, and that would be very meaningful to me. But we want to just spend the time helping people as individuals and teams to be the best that they can be. And then we look back, and hopefully we look at it with pride.
Glenn, just about a minute left. Tell us real quick about the Fortitude 5 Challenge.
You know, the Fortitude 5 Challenge is a self-determining plan that you take, and it basically identifies five areas of your life that you're focusing on over 5 weeks. And really, you're just stripping away parts of your life to get to, you know, fruitful and productive parts of your life where you're better than you were before you took the challenge. So really, it's a self-determining plan that we're very proud of that because we've rolled it out, we're getting some great feedback, and it does help people see where they are and where they can be.
So, Glenn, I follow your instruction. I live your recommendations, including the Fortitude 5 Challenge. I become huge. I'm on a million stations worldwide. Can I then hire you to do executive protection for me?
Ben, I think it's coming. I'll be delighted to do so.
Glenn Burton, truly appreciate it. I tell you, the last thing I love about what you say, if you're not doing something you love, then why are you doing it at all?
You know, that just hits it in a nutshell. You got to love what you do.
Glenn, thank you for spending your time with our listeners today. Folks, visit devgroup5.com, glennburton.com. Glenn, safe travels.
Thank you, my friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast and over 300 others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Find us on your favorite streaming app. We're on Apple, we're on Google, Pandora, we're everywhere. Please listen to these messages and share them with people that need to hear them. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
Listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.